You heard how it went down. Now, time to sum it all up. This is Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all.
Giannis going the other way into the front court. We'll see if he fires up a three. He will, and that goes down. So Giannis holds the pose yet again. It's becoming a signature.
Recap everything you need to know about this game right now.
It's Middleton lobbing up to Giannis for the two-hand flush, and that is what the Bucks have done so well this year.
Now, here's your host, your analyst, and your MC for the evening.
Make some noise!
Justin Garcia.
Yeah!
855-616-1620 is the number to get in touch with us. We'll get that out there early because I do get the sense that a lot of the opinions and the level of concern for this team has started to drastically change in the last couple of games here. Are you in that category? 855-616-1620 is the Acunet Mortgage Talk and Text line to weigh in with us tonight on Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices. And look, I think we heard basically all we needed to know from Grayson Allen after the game there of, yeah, it wasn't necessarily any message from the coaching or anything that we worked on. It was basically, let's clean some of these things up and let's come out here re-engaged and re-energized and we'll look like a different team in the second half. And that is exactly what we have seen from this Bucks team. Six straight wins. Five of those six wins are coming against teams that we project to be in the playoffs or in the play-in tournament. We spent a lot of time talking about how difficult this schedule was in the second half of the season. It led a lot of people to worrying. The Bucks went into the All-Star break at 36-24. And as soon as they lost that game to the Brooklyn Nets to get to 36-25, you looked at an absolutely brutal month of March in front of you. You still had one game left against the Hornets, but you had a brutal March in front of you. 14 games, 9 of them on the road, 8 games against the top 6 records in basketball at that time. And at 36-25, I do think there was this growing concern of how many of these 14 games are the Bucks going to win? 7? 8? There was a lot of chatter, and some of you know who you are, over, are the Bucks going to be in the play-in tournament? That is what we were talking about 10 days ago on February 28th. Hey, is there a chance the Bucks are going to be in the play-in tournament? Fast forward to now, where the Bucks have just capped off a 6-game win streak. They're now in second place in the Eastern Conference, just 2 games back of the Miami Heat. Now, you're done with games against Miami this season. But you still have games against the Bulls, 2 of them to be exact, to add some of that separation. You still have 1 game left against the 76ers. And you have a couple of pockets here on this schedule with some very, very winnable games. Said it repeatedly last week. It really did seem like that game against the Miami Heat may be that linchpin to what the Bucks do in the month of March. And it just so happened to fall on the first game that the Bucks had in March, on March 2nd, that if they win this game, all right, you get the sense maybe they can build on this and do something. You got the Bulls. It's a road game. But Chicago's still dealing with some injuries. Then you got the Phoenix Suns. But as we learned going into the weekend, we knew Chris Paul was out. Then all of a sudden Cam Johnson is out. Then Devin Booker gets placed in health and safety protocols. You win that game. Now you're starting to peel off some of these wins. And I said here the last couple of days, these 2 games to me, I want to see this team perform in these 2 games. Last night against the Thunder, tonight against the Oklahoma City Thunder. Because we've seen the Bucks play well against the best teams in the league. We've seen them get up for those type of opponents. It's easy to be motivated for those teams. It's what the Bucks have done against the teams outside of that group. The mediocre teams and especially the really bad teams. Those are the games that it feels like that's where the issue is lying with the Bucks, especially that mediocre group. So the Thunder, you felt they should win this game, but we'll see. And then you saw the injury report in Oklahoma City, and I think it went from they should win this game to they absolutely have to win this game, and they should win this game rather easily. They did that. Then you get a mediocre Atlanta Hawks team coming to town. It's night two of a back-to-back. It's a little closer than you expected in the first half last night in OKC. So you weren't able to really rest your starters, and you started to wonder, you know, the Hawks really need this to move up. It's night two of a back-to-back. You had a great week. You've won five in a row. Maybe there will be a let-up, but there wasn't. And that, to me, is the biggest sign that I'm not going to say the switch is flipped or that's how they approached it, but something now is starting to take off with this team, and they look very much like the team we expected to see all season long and like that team we saw storming into the postseason a year ago. Second best record in the Eastern Conference. They still have the second most difficult schedule remaining, but they are in prime position to keep this streak going. I previewed on the network these four games coming up for the Bucks. What you've done so far, ideally you want a 3-1 road trip. 2-2 is absolutely what you'll settle for as the worst case scenario. But I want to see this team win one of those games, whether it's Saturday. The Warriors are struggling. They're going through it right now. Draymond Green isn't going to be on the floor in that game. But you got to win one of those two, either the Warriors or the Utah Jazz. You've started to stack successes. Now peel off some more. 855-616-1620, the Acunet Mortgage Talk and Text Line. We've asked this question seemingly after every game for the last five or so games, but we're starting to build towards, I think, more and more people, if you're on the fence, taking the plunge and saying, okay, you have convinced me. Are the Bucks back? Let's start on the phone lines here and talk with Rick in Honey Creek. Rick, you're up on Bucks Talk.
Hey. I just think the Bucks season has been definitely seen some improvements. I think Giannis continues to do what he's supposed to do, making great buckets, scoring many points. You know, their best guy on their defense there, Brooke Lopez. The Bucks kind of need him back, because I think the Bucks' offense and defense would be a whole lot better once he gets back. And then Chris Middleton, he's been, you know, struggling from turning the ball over quite a bit, but it's nice to see him not struggle so much with that tonight.
Yeah, six assists in the first half. Thanks for the call, Rex. Six assists in the first half, zero turnovers. He finished the game with eight assists, and one of those weird games where there was a couple of stats that I had to look up right around halftime and think, yeah, you know what, this might happen tonight. And then just never did. A much different second half here for both of these teams. Chris Middleton's career high in assists was one of those where you saw what he was doing really midway through the second quarter. A lot of that two-man game between he and Giannis, and the assist numbers started to balloon, which prompted you to think, what is Chris Middleton's career high in assists? It's 12, by the way. So when he was at six at halftime, you wondered, if he keeps playing like he did in the second quarter, we may get there. That didn't happen. The team assist number that I mentioned on the network post game as well, that's another one. Look, whenever you move the ball, whoever the team is, you're going to find success. That, you know, George Karl used to have the adage of free throws, layups, and assists. You get 30 of those, you're going to win a game. When the Bucks get 25 or more assists this season, they are 25-1. We've heard, you've heard it on all the imaging for Bucks shows on these airwaves of, yeah, when we move the ball, Chris Middleton and Drew and Giannis, Bobby Portis, whoever it is saying it, when we move the ball, we're tough to beat. That has been the case, obviously, with those numbers backing it up. They got to 24 assists tonight, so another one where we just fell short. But 25-1 this season when they get to 25 or more assists, and they average about 23 assists a game. So it's not as though they're massively outperforming. their season averages when they get to that number 25. That seems to be the magic number for this team, and they were trending towards that at halftime. A couple of missed shots, and that's really what you look for. The assist numbers are great, but look at the ball movement and the shots that are created. There was a lot of that in the first half. It popped back up in the fourth quarter. And that clutch statistic here, another win in a game that had a clutch moment for the Bucks. It's a five-point game with just under 5 minutes remaining. You could have a second. That's all that matters, and it's one of those clutch games. So maybe it's a flawed statistic, but nonetheless, another W for the Bucks in a game that qualified with that clutch situation. 855-616-1620 is the Acunet Mortgage talk and text line. What a difference a week makes. Are the Bucks back? We'll take more of your thoughts after this on the beam on. You are listening to Bucks Talk presented by Gruber Law Offices.
Here's Middleton the other way for the Bucks. He's on the right wing, crossing over on Collins, goes right by him, uses the left hand and lays it softly off the window. That was just nasty.
He's in his bag right now. The confidence is sky high.
Chris Middleton, a big game tonight. Giannis, another ridiculous game. We got to carve out some more time to talk about this run that Giannis has been on. But don't let Chris Middleton's surge here get lost in the shuffle either. He has been incredible these last few games. And really, it goes back to February 1st. I mean, we're going to look at the six-game win streak, especially with those four games last week, and give the most attention to that. But, you know, since February 1, the Bucks are 11-4. The Big Three is played in 14 of those games, and they're 11-3 in those games, and all three of those players averaging better than 20 points a game. Chris Middleton about 22 points a game. Giannis over 30. Drew Holiday over 20. They've all been incredibly efficient as well. Those three guys are playing their best. The Bucks have started to clean up some of those other areas, rebounding, turnovers. And the defense is, it's slowly but surely getting there. We had the conversation a little bit last night. You'll want to see some improvements defensively, but you also have to recognize so much of this defense hinges on protecting the rim and not giving up those shots. You can't do it quite as well without Brook Lopez out there. You know, think about these performances last year where if Brook Lopez didn't play, you would see this sporadically. It's been more than sporadic at this point. There's 15 games remaining on the season now for the Bucks. So it's been a matter of 66 games that we've seen this without Brook. But I do want to touch on that, too, because it seems like Coach Budenholzer may have let the cat out of the bag. It prompted a conversation that myself and Dave and Ben had off the air before we started. There's a number, a date on the calendar that's been floated out there by a handful of people. I'm starting to second guess that date and when we may see Brook Lopez return, and it's for the better. But the number to get in touch with us tonight, 855-616-1620, is the Acunet Mortgage talk and text line. Your thoughts on this win, on these last six games, and on this team moving forward into the postseason. Bob in Waterford, you're up next on Bucks Talk.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. You know, I think we get caught up in the win streak numbers from this year to last year. Last year, the Bucks ran 8, 9, 10-game win streaks. But we don't see that this year, and everybody gets in the panic mode. I look at the body language of these players on the team, and when they're not playing they're the way we expect them to play, and I use the word from last year, you know, there's a cohesiveness. There's a brotherhood with this team, and you know what? They trust one another, and you see that on the court. So, you know, when they lose a game here and there, to me, it's not a big deal because this team knows how to get to point A and B and what it takes to get to point A and B. Now, with Lopez, I'm a little skeptical with that because you got a guy that's out, and you have mentioned this on your show before. When you're messing with a back with a guy that size, you're just not going to come right back and pick up where you left off. So I worry about that a little bit. The East is the beast this year, so whoever comes through this year, it's going to be well-earned. But like I said, I'm not worried about this team because it just seems like they trust one another. Obviously, coach trusts the players to get the job done. And it, when the job is not done, you know what? Next game up, we forget about it, and let's just move to the next game. But like I said, I look at the body language. Nobody's barking at one another. Nobody's calling nobody out. So like I said, I think we're going to be fine. It's just it's not going to be an easy run this year. You got the Clevelands. You got the Chicagos. Philadelphia is going to be there. You know, everybody's on the Nets. I don't see the Nets at all because it's just that's a head case over there. So like I said, body language, cohesiveness, brotherhood, that's all winning combination to me. Thanks for taking my call, bud.
Yeah, you bet. And, look, part of that, too, is this group has gone through the fire together and winning a championship last year. I mean, that instills a lot of that trust. And you know, the trust conversation that we've had a couple of times in this show that I trust that trio. And I think we all have enough of a body of evidence to trust those three guys in these types of spots, and especially once you get to the postseason, in all likelihood, more than any other trio, certainly in the Eastern Conference. 855-616-1620 is the Acunet Mortgage talk and text line. Let's head to Maquantico and talk with Dave, who has an interesting take for us. Dave, you're up on Bucks Talk. What's up?
Hey, yeah, thanks for taking my call. I couldn't agree with Bob more, actually. He sort of stole what I was going to say, but I just really think that the Bucks, if you look at the last two seasons, they weren't maybe doing quite as well, like, consistently as maybe they were back when the 60-win seasons they were getting. But I think what you see in the consistently in major sports is that oftentimes the best teams don't do as well in the or the regular season, but they go
regular
on
season
to do well.
Teams, like, yeah, they're – yeah.
Yeah, and, like, take the Braves. Like, they didn't do too well in the regular season, went on to win the World Series. Now, I know that's baseball, but I felt like that applied to the Bucks last year and then this year as well. So I'm not too worried, just like Bob over there, and I don't think you're too worried either.
I think it applies to all sports. I mean, look at the NFL. Were the Cincinnati Bengals the start-to-finish best team in football? No. Our Brewers in the backyard. The Brewers were the best and one of the best regular season teams all the way up until the end, and we saw how the postseason run ended. This Bucks team, 2 years ago, 60 wins, on pace for 70 wins. How much of that had to do with, you know, the season, just everything that happened in the world, and then it resulting in a shutdown for 4 months, returning to play in a bubble, who knows? But you've seen it enough of it across all sports that you don't win a trophy for winning the regular season. It's not the Premier League. And I don't know exactly when the shift started, but you've seen more and more teams start to approach it as the old adage of it's a marathon, it's not a sprint. So, I mean, we don't want to look like crap. And we got to make sure we make the playoffs, but we also don't want to put ourselves in the spot where our guys are run down or we're dealing with injuries or any of that. Let's work on some things, and let's get to a good enough spot where we think we can find something. But you also got to pick things up moving into the playoffs. That's what the Bucks did last year. I think that's what was really frustrating people the most going directly into the All-Star break and coming out of the All-Star break was, you know, last year, as we said, it was April and the first half of May. The Bucks were overall playing pretty well. And that's when they started to figure a lot of this out. They were tinkering a lot with zones and switching and playing around with the defense. You had 50% of your roster was new, so that was certainly a learning curve. But it was right around the time that you got to about a month and a half or 2 months left in the season, they really seemingly figured things out and played like a much different team. So when you started the All-Star break, went into it and then finished it the way that they did, I think that prompted a lot of eyebrow raising of, well, this isn't how they did it last year. But now we've got to that point where it looks like this is that team again. And, you know, honestly, I thought the conspiracies out there would be, look, this team was told, take it easy during the regular season. Would anybody ever cop to that? No. Is that a possibility? I'm not going to say take it easy, but look at it from their perspective. We won a championship last year. We've seen in the last three years the difference between playing for consistency in the regular season versus get to the playoffs, utilize what we can do there in the postseason. We reshaped the roster last year, built it full of guys that are playoff ready. Let's just get to the playoffs and make sure we can get it done there. Shortest offseason that we've had in Bucks franchise history. You played all the way out until mid-late July, and then the season gets started again 3 months later in October. Gave you about a month and a half, 2 months before open gym and everything else started up here. Chris Middleton and Drew Holiday went to Tokyo and played in the Olympics. So it was a lot. And you think about how staggered and strange the schedule was the year prior. And the year before that, too, with that big break towards the very end of the season. It's not going to feel normal until next year when you do finally get a full off season and you get a little bit of time to rest and reset here. So I wouldn't be shocked if some of it was that, too, of let's maybe get on the treadmill here and we'll start at a 3 or a 4 speed before we finally get to about a halfway through, 3/4 of the way through, and then we'll crank that thing up to 12. That's what it feels like we're seeing here from this team, who's now put themselves in a position to be in the conversation for who will win the Eastern Conference. Regular season, I should say. 855-616-1620. The Acunet Mortgage Talk and Text Line. Still more time to hear from you. We haven't even touched on Giannis yet. That's a bad job by me. Absolutely incredible what he is doing. A couple of specific numbers to point out. We will be the show that updates you daily on where Giannis is in his quest to become the franchise's leading scorer. The number's already out there on Twitter. I tweeted it out after the game. We'll give you that number and some more on what we've seen from, you know, what really should be, it feels like, another MVP campaign. 855-616-1620, the Acunet Mortgage Talk and Text Line. More after this on Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices.
So Milwaukee's got it the other way, leading 8-7. Lob pass up top from Middleton to Giannis, who flushes it through with a left hand. The alley-oop in effect. Middleton has had a couple beautiful dishes already in this one. Boy, that evolution in his game has been something to watch.
6 assists in the first half tonight for Chris Middleton. Finished the game with 8. Both he and Drew Holiday handing out 8 assists. The Bucks with 26 as a team. And they beat the Hawks here tonight at Fiserv Forum to extend their win streak up to 6 games. Since we played that Chris Middleton highlight, I do want to get to the Giannis numbers in just a minute here, but I had a chance to hear from Hawks coach Nate McMillan before the game tonight, and he went out of his way to specifically praise Chris Middleton. The question was asked of him, I believe it was our pal Eric Name, about, you know, just, hey, what are some of the changes, and what have you seen from Chris Middleton that really impresses you the most here, and the evolution that he's had the last few years, but all throughout his career, similar to the Giannis story. And Nate McMillan's quote was, he's a mature scorer. He's almost like a throwback player in the days that I played, a scorer from way back in the day. It just comes easy for him. He makes the right read. He gives the ball up when he needs to, when guys are open. He's good in the two-man game with Giannis. That's what we saw all throughout the second quarter. And he can read the defense, but he can punish the defense with his ability to score and take advantage of mismatches. As Nate McMillan said, he is definitely one of the best scorers in the league right now. Does a good job of spacing the floor. You can't really double-team him. He's good in isolation, and if you defend him with single coverage, he can find those advantages. And as Nate McMillan said, all three of those guys, that's what makes this offense. I mean, we've talked about the defense not being to that level that we've seen the last few years. Again, it's not the total story, but the absence of Brooke Lopez is a lot of that story. The offense, meanwhile, continues to get better and better every year. And remember way back when it was, well, can Giannis do this in the playoffs? Well, can Giannis hit a jump shot? Can Giannis hit a free throw? Can Giannis figure out how to beat double teams? Can the Bucks score in the half court? Yes, 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 yes. All of those answers, yes. We've answered all of those questions and checked off all those boxes last year in the playoffs, and again, it's continuing this year. That offense, it's just so lethal now, especially with Bobby Portis in the mix. Nate McMillan said it best, and I've never heard another coach put it this way, talking about those three guys specifically, but they do. They space the floor. You can't double-team them because the other two guys are out there, And each of those three guys does such a good job of, if you put an inferior defender on me, I'm going to attack. Giannis, if you put a guy on him that can't slow him down, Giannis is going to the basket and it's 2 points. Chris Middleton, you put a smaller guy on him, he's taking him to the baseline and he's going to score over him. And Drew Holiday, same thing. He can bully you to the basket. So the offense, if we're going to talk about the negative of, well, the defense, it's getting there, but it's still not where we need it to be. Well, we should point out the positive that, man, this offense, it's really good. It's better than it was a season ago and things like that. When we see these moments, how they played against the Heat, how they played tonight, how they played against the Bulls, how they played against the Suns, those are the things that matter the most. 855-616-1620 is the Acunet Mortgage talk and text line. Question we've asked for a while now is your concern gone? Are the Bucks back? But the answer should be overwhelmingly yes. The question that we should start asking on a nightly basis from now on, the Bucks have 15 games remaining this season. When will Giannis become the franchise leading scorer? Which game will it be in? Now, 15 games remain. Do I think Giannis is going to play all 15 games? I mean, Bud said last night before the Thunder game, when asked, hey, is there anybody that's going to be held out for a reason unforeseen or anybody that wasn't listed on the injury report, any of those guys in danger are not playing? And he said, no, these guys need to play. You know, we're at the point now, we got to play, and we got to get ready for the postseason. I still don't think he's going to play all 15 games remaining. 12 would certainly be a conservative estimate. I think if you go 11 to 12 ballpark, that's what we'll see from Giannis, depending on what that last week of the season looks like and what's decided in the standings in the conference. But let's just say 12 games to be safe. He misses three more games in the final 15, which we're probably overestimating games that he'll miss. But nonetheless, I'm going to put it at 12 that he will miss or that he will play in. Right now, after this performance tonight and the 43 points scored, Giannis trails Kareem Abdul-Jabbar by just 232 points. 232 points is all that separates Giannis and the number one spot on the scoring list. He needs to score. He's separated by 231. He needs to score 232 to be the franchise's all-time leading scorer. Let that sink in and think about that. Coming into this season, it was, yeah, we know it's going to happen probably next year, but hey, what an incredible run Giannis has been on. And then as you start to get to January, it was, man, Giannis is really playing well. In February, it was, I wonder where he's at here. And then as we got close to the All-Star break, you started to really pay attention to this and think, huh. So he's got to average, you know, basically a couple of points less per game than he's currently averaging right now. So 15 games remain. 232 points separate Giannis and the number one spot. If he played all 15 games, he would need to average 16 points a game for the remainder of the season to do it this year. But again, we said, okay, let's say 12. If he plays in 12 of those 15 games, he needs to average 19 points. You see where this is going here. If he plays even in 10 games, he needs to average 23 points. It is going to happen this year. And in all likelihood, you look at that 232 number and what he's been able to do, you get the sense that's like 8 or 9 games for Giannis to get that done. And so what is the game where Giannis will become the franchise's all-time leading scorer in Bucks history here? Now, if we want to build in, okay, maybe he'll miss one or two of these games here. You look at what they have in terms of the schedule. Back-to-backs are out of the way until April, so there's nothing to worry about there. You get a couple of days off going into this road trip. You get a couple of days off again on the road trip next week. It's starting to feel like end of March, early April, and I think if you're a Bucks fan, you hope it's April 1 when the Clippers are here. That's when he could get it done. I don't think anybody would complain with March 29th in Philadelphia for Giannis to set the franchise's scoring record in Philadelphia against the 76ers, and that rivalry that is certainly there since the time Giannis arrived and since Joel Embiid arrived, that would be a special moment as well. But where is Giannis going to break this record? Because it's no longer, hey, is he going to break it this year? He's going to break it this year. Which game on the calendar remaining is where Giannis will become the Bucks' all-time leading scorer in franchise history? 855-616-1620. 232 points that he needs to score. When will he score that 232nd point? More after this on Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices.
As they try to stay in front of Washington for that final spot in the play-in. Here's a pass out, left wing, three-pointer from Grayson Allen, and he will knock it down from the left wing.
That was timely, to
say
the least.
Big-time bucket.
Dynamite insight there from Ben Bruss, but to Grayson Allen with that three-pointer to extend the Bucks' lead to 10, and they would not look back, beating the Atlanta Hawks here tonight at Fiserv Forum and extending the win streak up to six games. So we've talked about Giannis, 232 points. Pretty freaking good that he needs to score to be the franchise's leading scorer here. He also is up to 29.7 points per game now, which is tied with Joel Embiid for the most points, highest scoring average, we should say, in the NBA this season. Now, look, the MVP debate, I know we've touched on it quite a bit here with the basketball reference MVP tracker and how do they see things shaping out here. We'll do this. The most recent update. This does not include what Giannis did tonight. It does include what Nikola Jokic has done the last couple of games, and Nikola Jokic with a triple-double again tonight. I believe that's three straight games now with a triple-double. But the basketball reference MVP tracker, which again, for those uninitiated, it ranks candidates based on a model built using previous voting results. In other words, we have compiled this formula here to say, okay, in the past X amount of years, here's how the MVP voters have weighed in. So we'll put together this algorithm that tells us, here's who's going to win the award this season. According to their data, Nikola Jokic is the most likely to win the MVP this season for a second consecutive year. They give him a 41.9% probability of taking home the MVP award. Again, before the games were played tonight, where Jokic had another triple-double, but Giannis scored 40-plus points and is now, again, even with Joel Embiid for the scoring average in the NBA. Giannis is second on that list at about a 26% probability. So it's a pretty wide gulf between he and Nikola Jokic. You're not seeing a whole lot of Joel Embiid mentioned. And I know I said I felt pretty confident Joel Embiid was going to win the MVP award about a month ago. Nikola Jokic has been incredible from that point forward. He's been incredible all season, but he has taken his game to another level. You look at the players on the floor for the Denver Nuggets for most of this season, and the fact that at one point, up until this win streak by the Bucks, up until the 11-4 record from February 1st, the Bucks and the Nuggets had the same record. And you looked at the personnel. I know Brooke Lopez is out. I know Giannis and Chris and Drew and Bobby have all missed time with COVID protocols and injuries. Grayson Allen as well. Pat Connaughton is currently out. George Hill, you know, that's another thing we got to find some time to talk about. But George Hill's out. I get all that. But when I look at the two rosters, these two teams, they should not have the same record. That is a credit to Nikola Jokic. To me, we've talked a lot about this being, yeah, it's a three-man race between the three big men. I think what we're starting to see here, and Joel Embiid had a great game on Monday night, but I think what we're starting to see here is this is becoming a two-man race. This is really Giannis and Nikola Jokic. And most of the advanced metrics back up those two guys. Nikola Jokic has the advantage in a lot of the categories, but Giannis is the guy that pops up the most. Giannis, oh, by the way, may be the defensive player of the year again. It's either going to be he or Rudy Gobert. That has to factor in and count for something as well, but those are the two guys to me. I'm not trying to discredit Joel Embiid. He's been terrific this year, and really, who knows what Philadelphia does with Ben Simmons and what they do at the trade deadline, what they do in the offseason. Who knows how any of this maps out. If Joel Embiid doesn't play the way he did for the first half, and really for all of this season, if Joel Embiid is just okay and misses time, if you're Daryl Morey, who knows? Maybe it's easier to move on from Ben Simmons and sell for 80 cents on the dollar. But the way that he played, you knew you can't waste this season. And that really sparked the, we got to figure out how to get across the finish line here and bring in James Harden. That's the interesting part, is you bring in James Harden, maybe it's going to hurt Joel Embiid's MVP candidacy, because you got another guy out there flashing some big numbers and really shouldering some of that load. But all these numbers to me tell you, yeah, Joel Embiid has been great. Giannis and Nikola Jokic have been the two best players in the league this season. Whichever model you choose to look at, that'll tell you who's the best. Giannis certainly has a bigger impact defensively. Nikola Jokic has a bigger impact, just as big offensively. It's going to be one of those two guys. I have done a full reverse course and have said, okay, it's no longer Embiid. I think it's going to be Nikola Jokic for 2 years in a row. But then he runs into the issue that Giannis faced a couple of years ago. You win that award, and you win it more than once, you better win a championship, or that award is off the table. We said on July 20th, when the Bucks won the title, when Giannis came back 1 week after, it looked like he was going to be lost for the remainder of the playoffs and maybe all of this season. When he came back, and after two games, looked like, okay, he is back as the guy, and then closed out the NBA Finals in Game 6 on the home floor with a 50-piece. He's Teflon. It is no longer the, hey, you can't win this anymore. He can win every award now going forward. I think Nikola Jokic is going to get it this year because, look, this is it, pal. This is your last chance. You guys got to go on a run in the playoffs. Otherwise, we've seen this before with other guys. You're not getting it again. But Nikola Jokic right now, the favorite by a basketball reference in the MVP tracker, who's going to win the MVP award this season. Giannis, again, 232. We need to see him score 232 more points before he moves past Kareem Abdul-Jabbar for the most points scored in Bucks franchise history. 15 games left. He needs 8 games, maybe 9, to get that done. At the pace and the rate that he has played at this season, we're talking about 8 games. The 8th game that the Bucks have between now, 8 games from now, I should say, is Tuesday, March 29th in Philadelphia against the 76ers. The 9th game is also on the road 2 days later in Brooklyn against the Nets. The 10th game is at home against the Los Angeles Clippers. You do have a Utah Jazz matchup, and the Jazz have been able to defend him very well through the years. So maybe you see a little bit of slippage there. But you got the Warriors. There's no Draymond Green. There's no James Wiseman. You got the Sacramento Kings. I do not see Domas Sabonis slowing him down. You got the Minnesota Timberwolves. Karl Anthony Towns leading the pack there. Jared Vanderbilt also, you know, he played Giannis fairly well in the matchup earlier this season. Giannis still finished that game with 40 points against the Timberwolves earlier this season. The Memphis Grizzlies. Now that's another game where Giannis scored 30-plus going up against Steven Adams. You're not seeing a whole lot of resistance. So there isn't that stretch of, well, he's got to look at this and this and this, and then you got to worry about this team slowing him down. And even all that being said, where are those spots this year where Giannis has run into that wall and had a stretch of, man, he scored 15 points or 19 points or 7. He has been consistently 25 to 30 points on every given night. Last time he was held below that, 19 against the Suns in 31 minutes. Before that, you got to go back to February 10th when he scored 18, also against the Phoenix Suns and DeAndre Ayton. Before that, the only other time that Giannis was held below 20 points, the last time, I should say, he was held below 20 points, was all the way back in December against the Miami Heat. So he's going to do this in 8 or 9 games. So it just comes down to, does he miss any of these games between now and then? it is going to be one of those three games in all likelihood, the Sixers, the Nets, or the Clippers, where Giannis becomes the franchise all-time leading scorer. Now, that's Giannis this year. We're going to be on this same watch or a similar watch next year for a different player. I'll give you that number and tell you who it is after this on Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Office.
Giannis going the other way into the front court. We'll see if he fires up a three. He will, and that goes down. So Giannis holds the pose yet again. It's becoming a signature. I'm going to get what I
can and more, even if my blood, my sweat. 43 points tonight from Giannis, who is inching closer and closer to the number one spot on the franchise's all-time scoring list. He's going to do it in a matter of 8 or 9 games. So we gave you the three most likely, either at Philadelphia, at Brooklyn, or here at home against the Clippers. In all likelihood, it's happening in one of those games. He becomes the number one scorer in Bucks franchise history. Also, not to be lost in the shuffle, I should point this out too, because I've seen a few people not necessarily push back, but anytime you put anything out there, Giannis, and you include Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, you get the Laker fans that are, well, Kareem did it in X amount of years. Yes, Kareem did this in 5 seasons. Kareem was a freak of nature. So was Giannis. But Kareem scored 30 points a game in those 5 years with the Bucks. It took Giannis some time to get to the level that he's at now. Kareem was one of the greatest, if not the greatest, collegiate players in the history of the NCAA. He came in as a finished product, and he dominated early. He was one of those rookies that, man, this guy's one of the best players in the league already. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar did that in 19,954 minutes. Giannis so far has played in his Bucks career, NBA career for that matter, 20,987 minutes. So it's a difference here of basically 1,000 minutes that those two guys have played. And we point this out because, you know, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar averaged basically 43 minutes a game. Giannis is averaging basically 33 minutes a game. So, yes, Kareem played fewer years, 5 years to, you know, 9 for Giannis. But for all intents and purposes, this is basically a 6-year run, 5-year run that he's done this in. He did that 10 minutes more per game than Giannis is doing. Mention one other player is moving closer. We're out of time. So we'll see what he does on Saturday night to get you updated on that. My thanks to Brandon, Greg, and Chris for producing the show. All you guys for hanging out and interacting with us for the last hour as well. Saturday night, 7:30 tip, Bucks and the Warriors. We will be back afterwards with more Bucks Talk presented by Gruber Law Offices.